Welcome back, everybody. It's your time to ed up on the Ed Up Experience Podcast, where we make education your business. This is Elvin Freitas, co-founder of the Ed Up Experience. And today is the last day of Elucian Live, eLive 2024 in San Antonio, Texas. And it's been absolutely phenomenal. And I finally get a chance to be on the microphone. Shout out to my co-founder, Dr. Joe Salustio, who did, I don't know, 20 episodes, which is fat, awesome. So this is the last one, and I'm excited to dive in. And so, as you all know, I am notoriously bad at pronunciation, and I'm going to try my best to get this right. Okay, so our guest today, your guest today, is Cindy Kane Fitzgerald, and she is University Manager of Business Intelligence Analytics at Antioch University.
Well done, Alvin.
Yes. it's going to be all good from here on.
Got the hard part out of the way.
How you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Well, you sound great. So that's wonderful. Okay. So, Cindy, tell us all about what you do and how do you do it?
Okay. Well, business intelligence analytics is about bringing together all of the transactional information that comes into a university every day. Student registers for classes. We hire new faculty. Somebody pays a bill. Somebody gets a bill. All of that is information that is transactional. But when you make decisions about running an institution like a college or a university, you need to be able to summarize that to a higher level. And that's what business intelligence analytics is all about.
Okay, cool. Now explain that to me like I'm a three-year-old.
So instead of looking at a list of 2,500 students individually and the 6,500 classes that they took in the fall enrollment, and then looking individually at their gender and their ethnicity and whether they were taking a full-time load or a part-time load, business intelligence analytics will add all of that up so that you can see that you had X number of part-time students that were women and X number of full-time students that were men in the fall. And you can look at that longitudinally. So you can look at that year over year, term over term.
Got it. So iPads. Is that part of you?
As a matter of fact, I do iPads. It's one of the things that I presented on here at the conference.
Oh, no way. That's cool. Tell us about that. That's awesome.
Sure. So iPads is a very complicated survey process.
Does anybody know what it stands for?
Yes, it stands for...
Go for it.
Now I'm not going to be able to do it.
No way.
It is the Interdisciplinary Post-Secondary Data System.
Wow. Bravo. Bravo. I'm impressed. Go, Cindy.
So IPEDS is required reporting for most higher education institutions. If you receive any kind of federal financial aid or financial aid from your state, you need to report IPEDS. It's a series of 12 surveys that ask for information about institutional effectiveness. It's looking at your human resources, your fiscal resources. It's also looking at student success.
There you go.
Antioch is five different campuses. We have a campus in Keene, New Hampshire. We have a campus in Yellow Springs, Ohio. We have campuses in Los Angeles and Santa Barbara, California. One in Seattle, Washington. We also have fully online programs and low residency programs.
Wow, we spread out.
Wow. We are. Antioch submits not 12 surveys, but 60 surveys each year.
Ouch.
And so back in about 2014, I automated our IPEDS processes. And in doing that, it also initiated data governance conversations.
Oh, that's fun.
Are you familiar with data governance?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Oh, fun times.
Right. Well, if you think about it this way, any kind of compliance reporting requires that you have clear, consistent definitions for things like student, full-time, part-time. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, clear and consistent and common language, common definitions are foundational to data governance.
Yes.
So in the process of standardizing and automating our iPods reporting, I also needed to standardize and clarify those definitions.
Wow.
So that helped us develop our first data glossary, for example.
Oh, Oh, wow. So tell us more about the university, because you mentioned a little bit more. So,
sure.
You're spread out a little bit.
Yeah. We're a multi-campus, multi-state institution. We offer degree programs at the undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral level. We also have licensure and certification programs. Mm-hmm. And a broad array of continuing education and professional development offerings as well.
Gotcha. And how long have you been there?
I've been there for 15 years.
15 years.
15
wow.
Years.
You started when you were 10 years old. That's awesome.
That's correct.
And so you're at eLive, and we were talking before this, and what number is this that you've attending eLive? This is
like you're so not cool. Going to get that out of me on on air, Elvin. Shame on you.
Remember, you started when you were 10, right?
I think it's in the neighborhood of 20 or wow. So. The that's institution awesome. I was with prior to Antioch was also an Eleusinian customer.
Yeah,
so I've been coming awesome. To these for a while.
Yeah, and so talk real quick about the beginning, because you were saying a cool story before we got started about your first time and how it has evolved, and talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, in the beginning, it was called the DataTel Users Group.
Doug,
this,
right?
Yeah, it was called Doug. And Doug was held every year in the same hotel, the Marriott Wardman Park, I believe it was called, in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
It was a much smaller conference.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I'll tell you one story from
yes.
that. One year after the big client appreciation party, which is always on a Tuesday night,
yeah.
we... we're all in the lobby, hanging out, having a great time, full of, you know, yeah. joy and yeah. happiness. And then the power went out
nah.
in the entire, that whole part of Washington, D.C. So the hotel staff went around handing out those little glow sticks. And some awesome. Friends of mine who are musicians had their nah. instruments. So we just sat in the lobby and we played music
jam
in the dark.
Out.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Classic. Oh, I love it. Okay. Cool. So you're so lucky because you've got to experience 3 days already. You presented, and I'm sure you've been sitting in on a bunch of also sessions. So what have you taken away? What are you going to take away, and what are you going to go back to campus with? Anything that kind of sticks out?
Sure. Well, look, there's a couple of very specific things that I took away. One is about improving. This is going to be really dorky and nerdy. Improving how we can use the campus organizations module to track non-instructional faculty load.
Again, translate that like I'm a three-year-old.
So every year, faculty are responsible for teaching a certain number of classes.
Yeah.
Many institutions also require that their faculty perform some sort of civic engagement, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So that could be serving on a committee, that could yeah. be serving as a chair. That's what you call non-instructional work, but we need to have something to measure that.
Ah.
It's often called a course release.
Yeah.
So let's say you're supposed to teach 6 courses.
Got it.
But because you're chairing our anti-racism task force, you only have to teach 5 courses. You
got
get that
it.
Course release.
Got it. Okay.
So you can use a module in Calling to track that non-instructional load for your faculty.
Gotcha.
Very okay. helpful for the yeah. deans and the department chairs.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a big takeaway that you got attending one of the sessions. Or-
sure. I was already using it to some degree, but the presentation I went to just took it a step farther. I'm very yeah. excited to bring that back to the campus.
Yeah. Oh, that's just awesome. So I'm going to ask this question. I think I know the answer, but why do you keep coming back? Other than the awesome people and the good times and the amazing guests that they have here, is there any other reason why you keep coming back?
Yeah, absolutely.
What is that?
I keep coming back because of the people that I connect with, because of the connections with other clients. I mentioned data governance
yeah.
earlier.
Yeah.
It's a real passion of mine. Mm. I believe that data governance is central to higher education, to any organization in any industry, really. But higher education is a little slow to catch up on that bus.
Yeah, yeah.
So both of my presentations at this conference and at the last conference and at the conference before had to do with data governance and data management
okay.
as a concept. And people are hungry for it
mm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my takeaways.
Yeah.
My session that I did on Monday, capacity was 300, and we had 298
wow.
people that were registered.
Amazing.
And then people stayed and
yeah.
wanted to talk about it. It's
yeah.
it's a very hot topic. So
yeah.
I'm really hoping that next year
mm-hmm.
at Eleusinian,
mm-hmm.
perhaps there can be an entire track
oh, nice.
Full of sessions
yeah.
on data governance.
Yes. And so Is AI involved at all in data governance? Is there some type of conversation happening with artificial intelligence?
So data governance is about how you govern all of the rest of the data management functions, right? So data quality is a data management function, how you manage the quality of the data that you take in. How do you manage your master and reference data? That's a data management function.
Yeah.
Part of one data management function is about data integration and data lineage, data catalogs, metadata. And there's a lot of movement in the data governance and data management world right now to use AI to help develop those catalogs, to sort of consume the data architecture that already exists.
Got it.
And then provide that back to you in a readable, understandable format.
Got it. Okay, cool. So we're coming up to time, and we had a lot of people lining up because they're here to see somebody.
They are here to see. They are not here to listen to us talk, are they, Elvin?
I heard there's a guy named William Shatner who's going to talk
to you. What? Yes.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Pumped about that. But I got to ask you, though. You have a lot of experience, even when you started when you were 10 in higher education. So what does the future of higher education look like to you?
So I believe
yes.
that higher education is, the future of higher education is going to be, rely on collaboration.
Yes.
And at the institution level. So Antioch has just formed something called the Coalition for the Common Good with Otterbein University.
Yeah.
So that's two separate universities, and there's room for additional universities to come in. We are universities that have alignment with our mission, right? We are universities that have offerings that complement each other.
Yeah.
So Antioch has undergraduate programs in management, but their graduate management programs were rather small. We have very successful online graduate management programs. So we could develop pathways for Otterbein students to move right on into an Antioch graduate program. And I've been talking to people here at the conference where there's consortiums and there's collaboration at the institution level.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a big part of the future for higher ed.
Nice. I love it. Well, there you have it, everyone. This was awesome, Cindy. Thank you so much.
It's
I really appreciate
pleasure.
It. I'm going to outro you. I'm going to try, see if I get it right. Let's see.
Okay.
Her name is Cindy Kane Fitzgerald, and she is the University Manager of Business Intelligence Analytics at Antioch University. Yes?
Yes, sir.
Two for two.
Well done.
Thank you. And with that, everyone, you've just it upped.